Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas. Something that we can't always say at the same time. I like to think of it as a harmonic convergence. Back in August 16th and 17th of 1987, some of you were around back then, there was a harmonic convergence of a different kind. Because of an unusual alignment of about six planets, thousands of people from all over the world gathered at various places that they called power centers, and they believed that if 144,000 people would meditate for peace, then there would be a shift in the Earth's energy, and there would be an end of war and a new age of peace. I remember that. Does anybody remember? It was a lot of hype. It was a big deal. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But I give them a lot of credit for trying. However, this 1225, December 25th, that was the picture I had of the power center. This December 25th begins tonight on the Hebrew calendar, because the Hebrew calendar is a lunar calendar. And so there's another harmonic convergence that really could have, I believe, cosmic significance. Because of the convergence of Hanukkah and Christmas, which has only happened, listen to this, it's only happened four times in the last 100 years. There is a reporter for USA Today. He recently interviewed a well-known rabbi named Rabbi Bleck. And he asked this rabbi a question because of this amazing, unusual convergence of Hanukkah and Christmas that's not only occurring on the same week, but the first night of each. And this is the question that he asked. Since what happens this year is quite rare, where the first day of Christmas and Hanukkah fall on the same day, could you attribute any special significance to it? What do you think his answer was? Yes. And my answer is yes, too. Because I believe that it is a convergence. It is significant because it really could be a convergence that releases something that hasn't happened yet. And I want to try to explain that this evening to you. But it's because both holidays are significant, which means to say both holidays matter. Now, as Christians, is anybody here a Christian tonight? As Christians, we know that Christmas matters. But I'm not sure all Christians understand that Hanukkah matters. So this evening, I want to give you two reasons why Hanukkah matters and why this convergence of Hanukkah and Christmas could actually have cosmic significance. So, first, Hanukkah matters because history matters. Now, how do we know about Hanukkah from a historical, biblical perspective? Okay, it's in the Apocrypha. Let me ask another question. Where is it mentioned in the Bible? Okay. Well, it's in one place, John chapter 10, verse 22-23. It was a feast of dedication, Hanukkah, Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Now, the irony is that it's the only place that Hanukkah is mentioned, which is a Jewish holiday, in the Bible, is in the New Testament and not in the Old Testament. Now, isn't that interesting? And one of the ironies also is that the reason why the book that Paul mentioned, which is in the Apocrypha, which is called the Book of Maccabees, the only reason why that book is preserved is because the early church preserved it in the Christian canon. So if the Christians had not preserved the Jewish book of Maccabees, we wouldn't have that book today. Now, there's different theories why the book of Maccabees isn't in the Hebrew Bible, but I'll let you Google that. Or if you really want to know, you can ask me when we're done. But Maccabees tells the story of Hanukkah. And like most Jewish holidays, it can be summed up this way. They tried to kill us. We won.
Let's eat.
Let's eat. Now, some people tell the story of Hanukkah a little bit more creatively.
Oh, when the Greeks ruled the temple and land, to be a Jew, this they could not stand. They tried to kill, but we rebelled. Goodness gracious, miracle of all.
Yeah. Back memories, huh?
Fight the superpower, beat them in battle, cleaning out the temple, up your swell high, jug of pure oil, yeah, jug of pure oil, oh yeah.
Spin it. We like to spin it.
Dreidel!
All the kids all over the world, we're going to spin that dreidel. Spin, 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 spin it, spin it, spin it, spin it, spin that dreidel!
Now, you have to admit, some of you really wanted to get up and dance. I know. Well, Hanukkah can be a lot of fun, and it is. But back in 167 BC, it wasn't much fun. What was going on back then? Well, now think about this. In terms of a time span between that time and Jesus, 167 years, that's approximately the time between the Civil War and now. Just kind of give you a little bit of kind of reference. But what was going on back then is that this king, Antiochus Epiphanes, he was the Greek-Syrian king of the Seleucid Empire. And I don't have my pointer, but it was a major empire, kind of basically would be today taking up, incorporating Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. And this guy, Antiochus, he was a bad dude. In fact, he gave himself the name Epiphanes. You know what the name Epiphanes means, the word Epiphanes? It means God manifest. I mean, he had a serious case of narcissism. Okay, and he was a bit of a bully. In fact, what happened here was that he was so kind of egotistical that he wanted more territory, so he decided that he was going to conquer the Ptolemaic Empire, which is basically Egypt. So he went down there with this massive army, but he got beat. And then he had a bit of what I call road rage. Y'all know what road rage is. Well, so on the road back, see, the road back from Egypt to Syria, Antioch, you have to go through where? Through Jerusalem. That's right. That was the road. And because of it, he got beat up in Egypt, he had some bad road rage, and he took it out on Jerusalem. And it was very serious what he did. And you can read about it in the book of Maccabees. And we're going to look at a few excerpts just to give you a bit of the history of what happened. Second Maccabees, there's several books of Maccabees. The second book of Maccabees, chapter 5, says this: "Raging like a wild animal, he set out from Egypt and took Jerusalem by storm. He ordered his soldiers to cut down without mercy those whom they met and to slay those who took refuge in their houses. There was a massacre of young and old, a killing of women and children, a slaughter of virgins and infants. In the space of 3 days," this is serious, 80,000 people were lost, 40,000 meeting a violent death, and the same number being sold into slavery. I mean, we're all very familiar with the Holocaust and how awful that was. This was a bit of a Holocaust before the Holocaust. Well, as bad as that is, it got worse. He decided that he wanted to replace Judaism with Hellenism, which is the Greek religion, Greek gods, and he made it illegal, against the law, a capital crime to practice Judaism. In other words, if you kept the Sabbath, you were killed. If you kept kosher, you were killed. If you circumcised your child, you were killed. If they found a Bible in your house, you were killed. If you didn't honor Antiochus as Epiphanes, as God manifest, you were killed. And this gives a description of some of what happened. First Maccabees chapter 1, innocent people were murdered around the altar. The holy place was defiled by murderers. Do you know what the abomination of desolation is? Here's where that term came from. This is Antiochus. What he did, he set up a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies. And on the head of the statue of Zeus was his head, a bust of his own head. And on the altar, they sacrificed swine. So the holy place was defiled by murderers. The people of Jerusalem fled in fear, and the city became a colony of foreigners. Jerusalem was foreign to its own people, who had been forced to abandon the city. Her temple was as empty as a wilderness. Her festivals were turned into days of mourning, her Sabbath joy into shame. Her honor became an object of ridicule. Her shame was as great as her former glory, and her pride was turned into deepest mourning. It was a very painful time. That's right, Nicholas. It was a dark time. They were seemingly powerless against an amazingly, incredibly powerful enemy, the Syrian Empire. So what did God do? What happened? Well, God raised up a band of brothers. Who were they called? The Maccabeans. And who was the leader? Judas Maccabeus. And we read something in this next passage that I find just so inspiring, because it just shows how powerful God is if we trust him. "But when they saw the army coming to meet them, they said to Judas, 'How can we, few as we are, fight against so great and strong a multitude?' Judas replied, 'It is easy for many to be defeated by a few. For in the sight of heaven, deliverance, whether by many or by a few, is all one. It is not on the size of the army that victory in battle depends, but strength comes from heaven.'" Say it with me: strength comes from heaven. You know, there's something about the nature of God, the character of God, that he wants to reveal his glory and how powerful he is, even in our powerlessness. In fact, Paul said his power is made perfect in our weakness. Remember the situation, the story of Gideon? His army had a big army initially, 32,000 men. And what did God say? Too many people. I don't want you guys to get the glory. And you'll probably get beat anyhow because you're too full of pride. So let's reduce it a bit. And he had a little test case, wound up 300 men, passed the test out of 32,000, and God had a great victory. God is looking for a people who believe that strength comes from heaven. And I'm sure there's some of us here this morning that are facing some seemingly impossible situations and circumstances in life, just like they were. Maybe problems with marriage, problems with family, problems with children, problems with finances, problems with jobs, problems with finances, I said, problems with dating. Remember when you guys were married? Aren't you glad you're not dating anymore? Yeah. It was such a hassle. And problems with health. Some of us are facing some seemingly impossible circumstances. But the Lord wants us to know that he's powerful. And we can do all things. All things are possible through him who strengthens us when we know that our strength comes from heaven. Now, I have a question for you this evening. What if Israel hadn't defeated the Syrians? What would have been the implications? Let me phrase it a different way. What if the Allied forces, the United States and others, what if we had not defeated Germany? Well, there'd be a lot of implications, but one implication would be that I and others like me wouldn't be here tonight. I would not have been born. If we had lost that war, I would not have been born. That's just the reality. If the Maccabees had not won that war against this incredibly powerful Syrian army, it's very possible that the Messiah would not have been born. A very distinguished rabbi said it this way. Without Hanukkah, there would have been no Christmas. That's kind of sobering. It's because Hanukkah matters. Everybody say, Hanukkah matters. All right, so Hanukkah matters. And Hanukkah matters because history matters. And Hanukkah matters, secondly, because miracles matter. Come on, how many of you like miracles? We all like miracles. Now, even though the Maccabees won a miraculous victory, just like Israel won a miraculous victory in 1948, what happened in 1948? The War of Independence. Israel was born again as a nation after 2,000 years of dispersion and exile. That was kind of a miracle, wouldn't you say? And the miracle of 1967, the Six-Day War. Well, the miracle of Maccabees, even though they won a miraculous victory, the miracle most celebrated by Jewish people today is the miracle of the menorah, which is why the holiday is also called the Festival of Lights. And it's why we play dreidel. Most of us don't spin like those guys do, but we spin the dreidel. And how many of you ever played dreidel? Okay, we have a few gamblers here, okay. The dreidel, as you see, has four Hebrew letters on it. And it's an acronym, which means a great miracle happened there. Now, if you live in Israel, you say a great miracle happened here. But if you don't live in Israel, a great miracle happened there. So there's the miracle of the Maccabees. There's the miracle of the menorah. But there's an even a greater miracle that Hanukkah points to. And it's the miracle of the Messiah. Now, you may have noticed there's a menorah up here. but it's actually not technically a menorah. A menorah has how many candles? Seven. This is called a Hanukkiah. It's only used during Hanukkah because it has nine candles. Now, you think you would have eight candles. Why eight? Because there's 8 days to Hanukkah. Why are there 8 days to Hanukkah? Right, because the oil that should have only lasted one day lasted 8 days. It was a miracle. But so we have this special menorah called a Hanukkiah. Try to say Hanukkiah. It's good. It has nine candles. So it has the eight for each day, but then it has this one candle that's higher than the other candle, and it's called the Shamash. Everybody say Shamash. And Shamash means servant. It's the servant candle. I call it the mystery of the ninth candle. And Isaiah reveals the mystery of this Shamash, this ninth candle. Listen to what Isaiah says. Chapter 49, verse 6. It is too light a thing that you should be my Shamash, my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the remnant of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my Yeshua, because the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua, to the ends of the earth. And we're all familiar with Isaiah 53, where it begins, behold, my servant shall prosper, he shall be exalted and lifted up. So what's happening tonight? Tonight's the first night of Hanukkah. Jewish people all over the world are lighting this up. They're going to lift up this candle, if I can get it out. They're going to lift it up, the candle's going to come down to serve and light the first candle, the first night of Hanukkah. And as they do that, my prayer is that it would be a reminder of what Jesus said, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life for the salvation of many. Who said also, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Hanukkah matters because history matters and because miracles matter. And tonight, I would like us to believe for another miracle. That this convergence, this harmonic convergence, if I can use that word, of Hanukkah and Christmas would come about in the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people. That would really release and cause something that would be of cosmic significance. Now, why do I say it sounds, Fred, you're speaking a little bit hyperbolic. How do you say that? Hyperbolic. No, I'm not. Listen to what Paul said. He said this in Romans 11. For if their rejection meant the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If their rejection, whose rejection? If Israel's rejection of who? The Messiah meant the reconciliation of the world. How many of you are non-Jewish tonight and are thankful for you've been reconciled to God? Right. Because of our rejection, you've been reconciled to God. But what will their acceptance be of who? The Messiah. But life from the dead. The greatest revival the world has ever seen. And maybe could be in 2017. Because of this convergence, this unique convergence that's taking place tonight, I want to believe for another miracle of cosmic significance, the salvation of Israel and the greatest revival the world has ever seen. That's what Paul's saying. Life from the dead. Life from the dead. So here's what I want us to do as we close. I want to invite my lovely wife In a moment, she will light the shamash and the first candle for the first night of Hanukkah. And then I want us to not sing a song, but pray a song. Now, we're all very familiar with this Christmas carol. It's called O Come, Emmanuel. It's a great Christmas carol. But I think it's more than that. I think it's a cry of intercession. Now listen to the words. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save and give them victory over the grave. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes, 12 tribes, on Sinai's height, in ancient times thou didst give the law, Torah, in cloud and majesty and all, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. So after we light the candle, I'm going to invite you to stand and to not just sing this song, but to pray this song. Can we do that tonight? And just whatever posture you want, standing, sitting, hands are stretched out, laying on the floor, whatever. Make it a cry of intercession from your heart that we can see something extraordinary happen, something of cosmic significance, the salvation of Israel and the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Stand. Holy Spirit, you are here tonight. We honor your presence, Lord. As we sing this song, O come, Emmanuel, we say, O come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come to every Jewish home in Pikesville, in Clarksville, in Owings Mills, in Baltimore, in Maryland, in Columbia, Lord, in every state and city, in every country, in every nation where Jewish people are gathered together tonight, lighting the Hanukkah, lighting the Shamash, lighting and spreading the light of Messiah. Lord, may your Spirit come in a powerful way tonight and this year as we pray, as we say, O come, Emmanuel. And you'll notice that the melody mixed in is the national anthem of Israel, Hatikva, which means the hope. And the hope of Israel is for the coming of Messiah.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Shall Yeah.